versus Collingswood Board of Education.
Good morning, Jane Gerson. I'm for the plaintiff.
Good morning.
DF and his mother is AC.
This, as indicated in my papers, this is a case where this African-American family moved to predominantly white school district from a special ed class with four special ed staff and 10 special ed students, and moved to college where it was placed in a regular ed class with 20 regular ed students and two regular ed staff, one teacher and one aide. To do that, the Collingswood District simply crossed out the name of Camden on the IEP and put the name of Collingswood on the IEP. As a result, this child, who had a history of severe hyperactivity and behavioral disorders, wound up being constantly restrained, removed from class, and parents...
Let me back up just a second, please. When the move occurred to the Collingswood School District, that was in September 2008, am I correct?
You are correct.
And an IEP was signed at that time by DF's parent.
Correct.
And does that have any significance?
It has no significance under the court's ruling in NC versus Regional School District, where they're not going to hold the child's right to special ed to an appropriate education based on the diligence of their parent, but they're going to hold it to the school district's affirmative duty to offer a free appropriate education to the child.
And what did the school district know at the time in September? I understand that as the school year ensued, there were serious difficulties, and it became apparent that this was not the right place. But I'm trying to focus on what was the school district's responsibility at the beginning of the school year.
The school district had a Camden IEP because they crossed out. As soon as Chuck got there, they crossed out. But they took it into their form, but they put their name on it. So it was the exact same IEP. Okay, so how can you do this? How do you carry out this IEP with a regular ed teacher and a regular ed aide and 20 regular ed students? Impossible. That's why you got what you got here in this case.
Well, why don't we focus on the compensatory education question for a moment. Judge Irenas is troubled by how you can do this. There are obviously circuit court cases that say you can. I just want to focus on what you contemplate here. So what form of compensatory education would you seek now in Georgia? She's moved. Hopefully, TF is doing fine, but that's what I think the grappling is going to be about.
Okay. First of all, when Justin Mandel looked at what the AO
just the last case.
Justin Mandel quote for this case. Okay, Judge Irenas got this case. What was it? It was a dismissal. After 18 months of trial, before my client even got to put on one piece of evidence, before she got to put on one witness, her case was dismissed because she sat there for 18 months hoping for FAPE, and all she got was a hearing that lasted for a year and a half. She had no choice but to find somewhere else, some other school district, some other state, who would educate her children, and that's what she did. Now, your issue about the practicality of the comp ed.
No, I don't want to talk about practicality first. I want to talk about what specifically would you seek.
Okay.
When you talk about practicality alone.
Yeah, well, what I would seek is that the Collingswood District, as suggested in the Lewis Cass Intermediate School versus MK, the Western District of Michigan, was that they should contract with a new student's district or contract with an educational provider to provide a comp ed, which could be an IDEA for home instruction for special ed students, is 10 hours a week. So they can get him a tutor for 10 hours a week and make up for the number of weeks that he missed. At the time the complaint was dismissed, that was 20 months, approximately 80 weeks. 80 times 80 weeks times 10 would be 800 hours of competent. They contract with someone. If they're concerned about not having oversight, then they can hire a second provider to monitor what's going on with him down there in the school district. So there's no problem with it all. Schools contract continuously out of state and in state, and in this very case, Collegewood contracted with providers in this very case to provide him his educational services.
Can you follow through with Judge Greenaway's question? Is there a period of time that this would, that you're asking for, or is it how far would this go, assuming that the contracting is the appropriate way to proceed?
How far would go? Your standard and which way for comp ed is from the time the school should have known he was getting an appropriate education to the time they should have resolved it. Now, in this case, it could be that it would have to end on the date that she moved to Georgia, which is July 1st, 2010. Right. And the first day could be the first day of the IEP for the 2008 school year.
But there seemed to have been some other events where I assume the school district would argue that they were complying. And I gather in January they provided for one-on-one education. So would that mean that it would be only for 4 months or 5 months?
The court could have ruled that, but the court dismissed it. And Judge Arreyes had used a dismissal standard in his ruling. He has the wrong standard here. He's supposed to just look at the complaint and make a ruling based on the complaint. And he makes findings of fact when we didn't even put a witness on. And I don't think we can reach any decision on the merits here until we can complete the case.
Well,
one thing to your question is Heather D. Case in this district held that they would create a fund, a trust fund for the child's education.
What district are you talking about? What district are you talking about? The District of New Jersey, or are we talking about our circuit?
In your circuit.
Okay.
I think it was Heather D. versus Northampton.
Okay.
They allocated $184,700, I believe, for the child's comp ed to be put in a fund and only be used for the comp ed. So that's another option that this court has, although this court has said that it prefers the services be provided rather than a fund set up, but it didn't rule out a fund being set up.
So if it's a matter of the parent spending money, obviously that person, they can be reimbursed if they move out of the school district.
In this case, she couldn't fund the cost.
I understand that, and that's not the facts that we have here. So the question is, what form of compensatory education is indicated when somebody moves out of the school district, when the school district should have done something that they didn't do?
The compensatory ed, as the ALJ here said, as Judge Arreyes said, they just don't see how it can be provided. But I did brief them below, although the ALJ is still a spot day, so we didn't know this was coming. But I did brief Judge Arreyes below on the same cases I'm telling you about, that they could contract from the services or they could set up a trust fund. That's how it could be done.
That's the relief you identified for him that you sought, or that's what you alluded to in your discussion of the cases?
That's what I did in my brief for summary judgment.
Okay.
He didn't address those in his decision, his seven-page decision.
Okay. Good.
Do you want to talk about the attorney fee on the independent vows?
I think we understand the attorney's fee situation, unless some of my colleagues have questions. And if it's raised by the other side, you certainly can bring it up on your phone.
Yeah, I just, with the attorney fee, the district continually objected up until the day it was ordered that they opposed the independent evaluations by our experts. So I don't see how they can argue we agreed to it when we really didn't agree to it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Good. Mr. Rosari? Mr. Epstein?
Very briefly. If I believe,
I quote the administrative law judge saying that I know both parties have come before me saying the IEP is flawed. You're both in agreement on that, and that's why we're here. The IEP is flawed.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
The IEP is flawed.
Flawed.
Good. You're both in agreement. The IEP is flawed. That's in page 11 of my brief, and it's in the transcript at A282. But again, we're here on the appeal of a sua sponte dismissal, so I'm not sure why you look at the record. But in answer to your question, that's the only finding that she made in regards to the IEP.
And what is your claim post-January 2009? What is the basis of your claim for compensatory education?
That they didn't confer FAPE to my client. Lack of FAPE. From the beginning to
after January 2009.
Correct.
What is the basis of your claim? Because as I understand it, the one-on-one was provided from that point onward.
The IEP was not reasonably calculated to confirm FAPE. There was deficiencies in the IEP. They didn't appropriately address his behavioral disorders and provide him with an appropriate behavior plan, as evidenced by an answer to your other question. On February 2009, Collins was developed an FBA with unilaterally developed it. The mother wanted it developed by her expert, so they unilaterally developed it. And in August of 2009, they filed a motion with the administrative law judge saying we want our FBA implemented. The FBA that's been in effect for 12 months is inappropriate. And we had our experts that were appointed by the judge under her own authority to appoint experts, and our experts agreed that the behavior plan was inappropriate, but they also disagreed with Collinswood's behavior plan.
And what is the date of your experts' report?
My experts' reports were approximately August of 2009. And they were submitted to the judge at the time. She changed the stay put twice. And the first time she ruled on that, she said, I don't see anything. I agree with plaintiffs. There's no reason to change the stay put. The problem was with the IEP. And that's evidenced by her later statement. I noticed that you asked counsel made this representation that it was a finding of fact that my client didn't cooperate. There's no finding of fact that my client didn't cooperate in this case. In addition, your quote that I said before, that you're not going to hold the child's fate to the responsibility of the parent, especially if you're just signing the IEP, that's at MC versus Central Regional School District, 81F3-396. I believe one of your honors was on that panel that decided that. The standard for the IEP is the standard for the FAPE is that the IEP was reasonably calculated to confer FAPE. There's no way this child, with two regular ed staff and 20 regular ed students, his IEP could confer FAPE. But the IEP that came from Camden couldn't be possibly carried out there. It was impossible. It was evidenced by him constantly being removed and constantly being restrained. And, you know, the question about, you asked about the aid. Why couldn't the comp-ed be that in the next year they provide the aid to the child? Well, that, I agree with colleagues with, that would be part of the new IEP, that they should provide the aid. But what the comp-ed would be is additional. My client wants kindergarten and first grade. So, again, the formula I would suggest using, is that you have 2 hours of tutoring from a special ed teacher for every day that the child missed.
But you're suggesting that in this context, that because of the procedural posture that was before Judge Irenas, like, what your desires are with regard to compensatory ed are not in the record. Right?
Correct.
So in a perfect world, I presume you would say reverse and remand for discussion of compensatory ed?
You have a due process hearing that is going on for 18 months with only the school district proceeding because they have the burden of proof in New Jersey. We haven't even been heard yet. So don't you have to finish the
process? Talk about your perfect world.
I would say 2 hours for each day missed.
I'm asking you to tell me what your compensatory ed is. I'm asking you if you agree with the proposition that it's in a perfect world, you're asking for a reversal and a remand for a discussion of compensatory ed. A determination or a hearing on what constitutes appropriate compensatory education.
Correct. I agree with that. The question is, does it go back to the district court or does it go back to the Office of Administrative Law? Of course, you have the other issue, the attorney fee issue, which the district court would have to deal with.
And what are you recommending, that it go back to the ALJ or to the district court?
If you look at the law is pretty clear that once it goes to the district court, it's very limited on his legal ability to send it back, but yet, in fact, the district court judges routinely send it back for any unresolved issue that requires
it. You would argue that it's within his authority for him to remand it for further fact-finding. Is that correct?
I would say that, but again, there's a decision by Judge Simandl in LJ versus Audubon where he talks about there's a motion for remand, and he talked about his limited authority to remand. The standard's kind of, if there's any way that he can resolve this, then he should. That's kind of what the standard is. But, it would probably be preferable to go back to the administrative law.
Okay.
Thank
any you. Other questions? Okay. Thank you. Case is well argued. We'll take the matter under advisement.